Hi, ho, ho, and welcome back to the Boy Time Podcast. I'm your host, Victor Fleming, and I'm back with Babby. My rhythm's a bit off. It's been a while since we've done the Boy Time Podcast, but we're ushering in the new year with the first Boy Time Podcast episode of 2024. So, yeehaw, welcome. This is our first episode since the behemoth of our list week episode that we did.
I'm still recovering.
Yeah, it's a long one. If you have not listened to that one, I recommend it. If you're curious on what our top movies and games and TV shows were of last year, and that's where you'll find all of those opinions. But enough about last year. We're going to get started on the new year. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot of stuff news-wise, I don't think, and really matters. But I thought that, you know, might take a little bit of time. I was going to do this as a part of our list week episode, but that ended up being too long, so I had to cut it. And so I just moved it to this one. But I thought it would be interesting because I watched a lot of movies last year to kind of do a year in review and go through, just look at my whole year and see what happened. So in total, I watched 106 movies in 2023. I average one movie every 3.44 days. I don't know if that's really of note, but I think, there was a period in like June or July where I was hardly watching any because I was very busy. And then recently I haven't watched as much as I'd wanted to, but I think I compensated for that. Really in the last week, and then there were some months peppered in, maybe like during the Halloween marathon, watched a lot, but very scary, which I do want to do another marathon here soon. I just need to think of what it's going to be. But so that's the total, 106. I think that's decently high. I've been seeing people who are like dedicated Letterboxd influencers getting around 200. I think around that's average.
Watch seven, so.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Just movies total.
Just movies total.
Okay, you watch seven movies.
This year. Okay. Or last year, not this year.
Okay. Well, yesterday, as of us recording this, on the 1st of 2024, I watched three movies in one day. So, I'm going to beat your seven pretty fast here, I think. it was interesting. The first movie I watched in 2023 was Jean Dielman, the four-hour artsy French feminist movie that won the Sight and Sound 2022 listing. And I ended it with Gone with the Wind, a four-hour Civil War romance movie, which we will talk about because it made me very angry. I wrote a four-paragraph review on Letterboxd on why this movie made me so angry. So,
and then you gave it 5 stars.
I gave it 1 star. I gave an all-time classic, Gone with the Wind, 1 star, which might discredit me as a reviewer, but I'm going to go into why.
There's been times before this that I think would warrant that. So,
I think you're going to defend me more when into absolutely. Why. Because it is.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's appalling. So, that is. I bookended the year with artsy movies or classics, I guess. I gave out 3 5-star movies. I think in this order, I think are which ones I think are best to worst. So that is Grave of the Fireflies, The Holdovers, and then Malcolm X. All of those are phenomenal. Holdovers was obviously my movie of the year. You should check out all of those if you can. They are very different vibes. Grave of the Fireflies is probably the saddest movie I've ever seen. And it's a Studio Ghibli movie. Malcolm X is a biopic, and Holdovers is kind of a heartwarming, mentor-student relationship. So very, very different, but all of them phenomenal, obviously. Worst movie I watched, I gave out 2 half-star ratings on Letterboxd this year. The first one is Joshua and the Promised Land. I don't think I ever talked about this on the podcast, but I watched it. It's like this early CG Bible movie. Obviously, it's about Joshua and the Promised Land. I think it goes into like Moses. I think it's a Moses story, if I remember right. I watched it very, very early in the year. And I think the story is that it was created by one guy and it took him like 10 years to make. And it's god awful. Pun not intended, I guess. I don't know. Check it out. The whole thing's on YouTube. I think it's like 45 minutes. Frankly, I don't know why it's on Letterboxd, but it is. So I gave it 1/2 star. And then the other one was Blood Feast, which is one I talked about on the podcast. Again, very, very early in the year. It might be the worst movie I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of really bad stuff, obviously. And it's like the first splatter movie, regarded as one of the first splatter movies, a genre that I do not really like. And it's kind of racist a little bit. But it's racist in like a weird way, because in the way it's racist, you would expect it to be like Chinese or like Southeast Asian, where it's like, ooh, we don't know much about these Southeast Asian cultures. They must be into all sorts of weird mysticism, like Temple of Doom, which that's like Indian, but like, you know, that kind of thing where they're like, but Temple of Doom is obviously a parody of these type of movies, but so that kind of weirdo mysticism, but it's like about an Egyptian guy. And it's like this Egyptian guy is sacrificing people to some Egyptian death god, and he's going to have a feast with all of the people that he's killed, or they're going to, I guess he's going to feed a bunch of people human meat without their knowledge, which
classic
I guess
party trick, by the way.
It's a very classic party trick. But the thing is that, I don't know how they messed this up, because they were like, okay, well, this guy, he's going to be an old guy. He's going to be this old Egyptian guy, and he's going to kill all these people, but he also runs a catering company, and that's how he's going to, feed these human remains to other people unknowingly. He's just gonna be like, it's an Egyptian dish I made and it has human in it. And so that's their premise, but for some reason they couldn't find an old guy. I don't know how. They're everywhere, really. So they're like, this 30-year-old guy is fine, but then we'll just like put some gray paint on him and like spray paint his hair silver. And then I think they like did that, and then they're like, wait, this doesn't look like an old person at all. And then they realized that, and then they had to write it into the script. There, he says a couple of times in the movie, I am an old man. And it's like, you wouldn't have to say that if you got an actual old person, you know? I don't get why that was a thing. So Check out Blood Feast if you want to kind of cringe at old bad B movies. So those are the best and worst movies I watched. I think my favorite movie I watched, which I wanted to be like a little category of something that I didn't rate like super high, but one that I have very, very fond memories of. And so I picked The Raid, which is probably the best action movie I've ever seen. I think I went on length about this because I watched the first Raid and then I watched the second Raid. But I think I prefer the first one. And I think it was like, after I did my review of the first one, I'm like, eh, it's weird. Like, the story is really weak, but the action is really good. Like, I wonder what a movie would be like with a good story and good action. And that's what The Raid 2 is. But I almost don't like that there's more of a story in the second one, because I'm like, I just want to see people, you know, beat each other up. And it's, like, really fun. That's what I want. I don't need dialogue. Just beat up other people in a hallway. That's all I need. So that's what The Raid 1 is. So if you are into action at all, then check out The Raid. I think it's on Netflix. Maybe not anymore. But Netflix tends to keep international movies longer than their other, like, American-made movies, so it's probably still on there. So check out The Raid. But I think that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Theoretically, I could have squeezed that
podcast
in.
Podcast over.
No, not yet.
We were so tired, it was not going to happen.
It was just a little thing I just wanted to do. But, yeah, it was a long podcast, but there's that. Those are my best and worst and everything in between. Now, in between the last podcast episode and now, I have seen 13 movies. I'm not going to talk about all of them, obviously, especially since I didn't like most of them. It was really weird. Like, I watched Hellboy because I was like, this is going to be a movie that I'm going to love. It's a Guillermo del Toro movie, like a 2000s Guillermo del Toro. Ron Perlman is in it. And everyone says how cool Hellboy is. And I hated this movie. I don't know. It was so boring. And like all of the characteristics that everybody loves about Hellboy, I feel like maybe if I read the comic, I would like this better. But everyone's like, oh, he fights for like his cats. I'm like, the cats are in like two scenes and they hardly ever talk about Hellboy's cats, and it seems like that's his defining characteristic. It's weird. So I don't know, I feel like I missed the boat with that one. And that's the case for a lot of these movies. Saw a lot of like mid movies. I saw Poor Things. I don't really want to talk about it because it's, well, A, because it's really new, and B, because it was really weird. And I pity everybody who I've been seeing people have been taking their parents to see Poor Things. Don't do that. This is a PSA from the Boy Time podcast. Do not take your parents to see Poor Things. I almost did. Because I was home for the holidays. I saw it on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And I was talking to my mom and I'm like, hey, do you want to go see Poor Things? And she's like, I think I heard somewhere that there's like some weird sex stuff in it. It might be awkward if we see it together. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. So I took our good friend, Grant, I took him to go see it. And most of this movie is sex. It's almost to the level of like Blue is the Warmest Color, except that movie is just porn. This movie is not, necessarily, I don't know. There's a lot of full frontal. Like, I was kind of shocked because I don't know. Yeah.
Let's go. Okay. It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's both. There's both.
Perfect.
Although it's mostly women.
Yeah.
I will say.
There's still some room for growth, I suppose. But
I don't know. It was weird because like all of the dongs you do see are from like weirdos. Like I don't know how to put it, but it's not like we're seeing like Jason Momoa or some hottie with a body. It's like we're seeing these like weird old dudes that are naked. Because there's a lengthy segment in this movie where Emma Stone's character becomes a prostitute. And so we see a lot of naked ladies. And then every once in a while we'll see a dong when Emma Stone is sleeping with another guy. But yeah, it's weird. Like I've seen Emma Stone in a few things. I haven't seen her last collaboration with Yorgos Lanthimos, The Favorite. So I don't know if she's like naked in that one, but like she's naked a lot in this movie. And I was like, oh, okay, weird. Was not expecting that. I thought this was going to be like a weirdo Frankenstein Pinocchio type thing where Willem Dafoe is like a mad scientist. And that is kind of the case. But then she has like a sexual awakening. And that's like most of the movie. Because like the premise is that she is like, she has like a baby's mind that was implanted in like a woman's body. So there's like this kind of disconnect where like I don't know how to put it. I'm not smart enough to really dissect it. But I think like what it's trying to do is that like the body and the mind are like out of step, where like the body is sexually mature and the mind isn't. So like she is like at the beginning, she's like always masturbating and like it's weird. It's a weird movie. And I was like, okay, I gave it 3 stars because like the production design is really cool. Like the costumes and everything. It's like, it's almost like a steampunk type thing, but it's like more fantasy, but there's no like weird creatures or everything. It kind of reminds me of like a Tim Burton kind of thing in that realm. But I would say more stylized and cool. So that was what was really keeping me going along, because I don't really care about all the sex stuff. So yeah, interesting. But I think those are the two things of note that I wanted to talk about of those 12, other than the ones that I want to spend a longer time on, because I don't really need to talk about Major League. It's a good movie, but like, it's a sports movie. They're all the same, you know? Ooh. It's a baseball movie. Charlie Sheen is in it. And so is Wesley Snipes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good cast. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about, I think I'll save Gone with the Wind for last, because I don't want to get riled up off the bat. I think the first one I'll talk about is Snowpiercer. I'll probably have the least to say about Snowpiercer because I watched it 2 weeks ago. So it's not super fresh in my mind, but I've been looking forward to seeing this for a long time. I'm a pretty big Bong Joon-ho fan from what I've seen. I've only seen Parasite and The Host and now Snowpiercer. I think all of those have the dad from Parasite in it. So I like that. He's a great actor. I should know his name, but I don't. I guess going with the other movies I've seen, there's like very strong, like social commentary, I guess you could say. But Snowpiercer is interesting because it's a post-apocalyptic movie where basically there was this rich billionaire guy. I don't know if he knew that the world was ending. I don't remember how the world ends, but he's just like a crazy train guy. And he basically had a train railway set up that, like, I guess it took a whole year to go from the start to the end. And it's just a loop of the entire world. And he basically set it up like, I guess, kind of like it's a microcosm of like what real life society is like. And it's maybe a little bit heavy handed because it's like the back of the train is where the lower class people are. And the front of the train is where the fancy upper class people live. So it's like, okay, it's a little on the nose, but it's really well done because it really goes into like, there's like a lot of like patriotism and nationalism stuff, kind of brainwashing stuff. But I mean, it's like how propaganda can influence a populace, I suppose. But what's interesting and why I think this is such a great premise is that you're able to tackle all of society in a very small, close quarter setting. He's basically shrunken like the entirety of human existence and shrunk it all down to one train. And so like it's cool because it follows the revolution of like the lower class back of the truck people. And they're fighting their way up to the front. And there have been other revolutions in the past, and they always fail. But this is the one they're gonna seize the engine, and they're gonna win. They're gonna seize the means of production, I guess you could say, theoretically. And so it's kind of cool. We're following that, and as we're following the lower class people working their way up. Until they get to the front of the train, we see how, you know, there are different systems put in place to keep the lower people down and out and separate. Meanwhile, the upper class gets to just kind of live in oblivious, you know, in ignorance, where they're like, whatever, they're the lower class people. We can just treat them poorly because they live in the back. Who cares? So it's kind of interesting. It's a really well done movie. I haven't seen the show. I don't know if the show is any good, but I mean, it's a great premise. And I guess HBO likes to do that where it's like Westworld is a movie with a cool premise. Let's just make that a show. Snowpiercer is a good movie with a cool premise. Let's make that a show. The Last of Us is a cool game. Let's just make that a show. Not that I'm complaining, but or I guess Watchmen is a cool book. Let's make that a show. I don't know.
Get a movie and then we'll make a show.
HBO didn't make the movie.
Someone made it a movie. Let's make it a show.
Yeah. Hey, that Zack Snyder movie everyone loves. Let's make that a show. But yeah, I think Snowpiercer is like really, really good. In terms of like modern sci-fi, you don't see a lot of sci-fi these days. If it isn't like
good sci-fi.
Yeah. Denis Villeneuve, he's still putting out the good stuff. Christopher Nolan on occasion does some interesting stuff. But I don't know. Bong Joon-ho, really great. And I guess his new movie's supposed to come out in April. Nobody's told the studio yet, but yeah, it's the one with Robert Pattinson where he's on like the table.
Oh yeah,
that movie. About that. Yeah, that's supposed to come out in like a couple months.
Death Stranding looking thing.
Yeah, Death Stranding is being a movie eventually. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. I have not heard anything. There's no trailer. There's no other footage. It's just it's the new The Whale picture where it's like. The only thing we have is this Robert Pattinson on a table. So we'll see what becomes of that, because that's also, I think, supposed to be sci-fi dystopia, which Snowpiercer is great, so we'll see. So that was the first movie I wanted to talk about. The second movie is House. I watched this movie like yesterday. What?
Like the TV show?
No, no, this movie is nothing like the TV show. I went into it and I knew nothing. I had seen the poster, and I think everybody has seen this poster. It's like this weird, like cat cartoon face on like an orange background. I've seen people wear t-shirts of it. I've seen posters of it. I've just seen that face over and over again, and I've heard that it's a horror movie, and I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, like, it's super highly regarded. I've seen a lot of people rep it. So what is this? I'm just going to go in blind. And I went in blind, and it's the funniest movie I have ever seen. I don't know. I think it's intentional. It's intentional in parts, and I think it's unintentional in other parts. But it's a Japanese movie from 1977. And if you know anything about horror, especially international horror, you know that the Japanese, like Japanese horror in general, tends to be really, really messed up. So like when I saw that it was Japanese, I'm like, oh no, this is going to be rough. But it's like, I think it's kind of a parody of haunted house horror movies, in general. It feels like an hour and a half Tim and Eric sketch. There's like moments where like the frame rate is like weird and they like loop stuff over and over again, like Tim and Eric do. It's wild. I almost don't want to go into it too much just because I'm going to be, coming up to Madison in a couple weeks, and I think it would be a fun one to watch, especially since we don't have a DVD player. So I have all of these bad movies on DVD, but that won't be an option for us.
My PS4 died.
Since your PS4 died.
The Twin Peaks Ultimate Edition DVD box set broke it.
Is it still in the PS4?
No, it's out, thankfully.
Okay, that's good. That would have been bad.
That would have been tragic.
So I was thinking we could just watch House because it could. I'm it's down pretty to funny.
Watch House.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. So I won't go too much into it. We might talk about it in 3 weeks or so. So
probably.
Yeah. That's that. Just talk about that very, very briefly. I did really enjoy it, but I did give it, I think, only 3.5 stars because I think it did kind of overstay its welcome a little bit when I was watching it by myself. It might be different when I'm watching it with other people because I was
withstanded Wilton, like Neil Breen movies. I think if you watched those kind of movies alone, like it's the most torturous thing on earth.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how anybody does that.
Yeah.
I know people do it. I don't know how.
I pity those people.
I do. They must be truly broken in the head.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Okay, let's talk about Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind is a very important movie in the, I guess, in the history of film. 1939 when it came out. I think it is the highest grossing movie of all time when you account for inflation. It was an absolute smash hit when it came out. Won a bunch of Oscars. I think most notably Hattie McDaniel won Best Supporting Actress, making her the first black actor to win an acting Oscar. I think that wouldn't happen again until I think the 80s or 90s. Like, it took a long time for a black actor to win. Other black actors were nominated, but I think it took a long time for another black actor to win. So yeah, very, very big movie. You know, everybody's heard, Frankly, My Dear, I Don't Give a Damn. Very, very famous. I thought that was the last line. It's not. I don't know why that's like a myth some sort of misconception where it's like
one of them Mandelas.
One of them. Well, it's, I don't know. I think it just might be people who haven't seen the movie are like, it's the end of the. It is the end of the movie. But then, like the Scarlett O'Hara, who is the, who I guess is the main protagonist. She has like three or four lines after that. So yeah, not quite the closing line. It is a baller ass line in the context of the movie, which I guess we can talk about a little bit, but, I guess the most important thing to talk about is, the setting of Gone with the Wind. Now, do you know anything about Gone with the Wind?
No.
Okay. Gone with the Wind is a romance that takes place in the South during the Civil War. So we're following the Confederate side here, which theoretically could be interesting, I guess. When I had heard that and that a black actress won for this role, I was like, oh, okay, interesting. There might be doing something subversive, even though it came out in the 30s. Maybe they did something that wasn't racist, but, and this is a big but, it is very blatant historical revisionism. Like, it is, and that's the weirdest thing. When I finished this movie, I was so upset, and I was like, I need to figure out, like, what's the story? And I was like looking up, because this film has three credited directors. None of them are from the South. One's from Philadelphia, I think one's from Chicago, and one's from California, which California, like West-South is very different than East-South. I don't think, even back then, I don't think people in Southwest California were like waving Confederate flags. Because I don't know, that just doesn't make any sense.
A lot of stuff, weird stuff goes on in California.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Why is everybody in charge of this movie? Nobody's from the South, so why are they like trying to like portray the South in like a really righteous light? Like throughout the entire movie, they describe the Confederate. Like funding the Confederate Army as like the noble cause, and Clark Gable's character, who's like the main romantic lead, the frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn guy. He's like he's kind of like a smuggler. They describe him as like a blockade runner. And he isn't like affiliated with the Confederate Army at all in the beginning. And he's just kind of like doing it for profit, but because he's in the South, like basically acting as a smuggler for the Confederates, he is like it's what in his best interest, I guess you could say. It's only like later in the movie, right as the South is like losing, he's like, I need to fight for what I believe in, and that is the Confederate cause. And he's like, there's like a triumphant fanfare of music. He's portrayed as a hero rushing into battle. And like, this guy is fighting for racism. And the movie is celebrating that, which I think we also need to talk about the portrayal of slavery in this movie, because it is gross. And, I think offensive is too light a word, because it portrays all of the slaves in this movie as like more or less just like, oh, they're servants, you know, they're just like friendly, you know, we treat them well, and you know, we're all friends. And it's like, that's not what happened at all in real life. It's shocking, because like Hattie McDaniel's character, she plays Mammy, and she is like the house slave in the beginning of the movie. And then the movie kind of takes place before, during, and after the Civil War. I mean, it's 4 hours long, so they have the time. And for some reason, Hattie McDaniel, like, just stays being a slave. I don't know why. She's just, the house is, like, destroyed in the Civil War, but she just stays because she likes being a slave so much. And it's so weird. Like, the field slaves are freed, and they end up, like, living in the swamp because basically nobody wants to pay for labor anymore. Because they're like, well, if we're going to have to pay for labor anyways, I'm not gonna waste my money on, like, a colored person. Like, that's the kind of sentiment that's going on. And so, like, they're basically just living in the swamp and, like, fighting for their, they're, like, barely touched upon, so it's kind of hard to talk about their situation. But it's, like, the main character, like, is getting, like, robbed on the highway. And, like, the field slave comes to save her. I guess their former field slave comes to save her. And he's, like, a hero. And he's like, oh, well, we were just, like, you treated us so well. So it's, like, it's only right for me to return the favor. I'm like, no, I don't think that happened. Hopefully. I don't know. Every time a black character was on screen, it was really, really gross, and it made my stomach churn a little bit just on, like, how they are portrayed. I will say it was, like, a step above, like, minstrelsy. That was about the level it was, where everybody was a stereotype. The interesting thing was Clark Gable was basically like, Mammy, she's, like, the only person in the world that, like, doesn't immediately respect me because of my money. And it's like, I need to get her respect. Which I'm like, that's kind of interesting. You can do something with that, but this is a movie made in the 30s and they aren't going to do anything with that, really. She's just going to come around once he works his boyish charms on her. Like, this is so weird. It's so weird and so gross. Like, everything about this movie was, I couldn't pay attention to any of the things it was doing because it was making me so mad how it was portraying this. Especially given the time period. I mean, like, segregation was in full swing. And, like, I can't imagine, like, imagine you're, like, a black person in the South and you're hearing all of this buzz about this movie. It's the biggest movie of all time. And so you sit in a really crowded theater. It's really hot and you're watching this movie and you have relatives that were slaves, because at this point, like, maybe your parents or your grandparents were slaves. It's, like, not that far away. And, like, It's I can't imagine, like, sitting in this theater and watching this movie, and, like, you have to have heard stories about how it was for people and, like, seen the scars and everything. So it's like,
you're also forgetting that it's the 30s and people still acted it this bad. So this is firsthand experience. This is,
yeah, that's like, true. That's true.
Jim Crow was still, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, people are getting lynched and stuff in the 30s. Yeah. And, like, that's true, too. So it is, like, kind of weird that, like, well, it's not weird. I guess it's expected. But it's just, like, I had heard so much buzz about this movie from contemporary people. Not like, oh, I've heard that it's the biggest movie of all time. Like, I've heard, you know, I've heard of its success and its critical reception at the time. It's like, people today will praise this movie and call Scarlett O'Hara, like, a queen. And I'm like, this is, I can't believe, like, I seriously, that makes me question literally everybody I've ever heard that has said that this movie is worth watching. Because it is shocking. So, do not watch Gone with the Wind. I was going to, I was like, you know what? It would be kind of interesting if I watched, in between watching Gone with the Wind, I watch Birth of a Nation before. So I'm like, these are two big movies that like people in film schools still like show their students. Like Birth of a Nation is still a film school movie. I didn't watch it at my time in film school. Maybe if I stayed longer, I would have. But, oh man, this movie made me so upset. I gave it 1 star because I couldn't bring myself to say that it was as bad as a Neil Breen movie. Because on a technical level, it's pretty good. Like, it's, I mean, the costumes and stuff are all like time period appropriate. They really go all out to make, to give Scarlett O'Hara the prettiest dresses in the world, which I guess is a positive and a negative from my perspective. I don't know. It's really kind of impressive. There's like one shot, I think it's kind of famous, where most of the story takes place in Atlanta, and it's towards the ends of the Civil War, and the Union is sieging Atlanta. I'm not a Civil War historian, so I don't really know all of the specific battles, but I'm pretty sure there was a siege in Atlanta. I think the rest of the historical battles that they bring up did happen, so I have no reason to believe that this didn't. But there's a very famous scene. It's kind of similar to the shot in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, where it's like this long kind of dolly tracking shot where they zoom out and there's like this just giant like area of like all of these wounded and dying soldiers, which is impressive for the time. I honestly don't know what like crane situation, I guess, would be these days, like a giant crane.
Horse and buggy.
I don't know. I don't know how they did it. Pretty much. So I don't know how they do it. And it's like kind of impressive. I think I wrote in my review, let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah, the grand wide shot of hundreds of Confederate soldiers wounded or dead left me feeling pity for all of those suckered by this movie into believing the Confederate cause was a righteous one. I was very upset when I finished this movie. So, sorry to anybody that was expecting me to give a rave review of Gone with the Wind. I don't know if those people existed.
Do people even like nowadays like that movie?
Yes. I've seen two film review YouTubers that I respect, and most other aspects give glowing praise for this movie and like urge people to see it these days and say like it is only 4 hours, like it's not that bad, it flies by, which granted it does. It does. It doesn't feel like that long, and it does have an intermission, so to what it's worth. But it is, if people do talk about it these days, and it is weird. So I don't know. I don't know how to close it, but I guess for reference, I did watch the original Godzilla yesterday, and I gave it 1.5 stars, so I am firmly on record saying that the original Godzilla is better than Gone with the Wind. So, there's that. Also, I saw The Blob yesterday, and I gave that 3 stars.
Oh, Blob.
That's a good movie. I guess the special effects in The Blob are not believable, because it is just strawberry jelly. But what's even more unbelievable is the fact that, like, a 40-year-old Steve McQueen is playing a high schooler. Well, that's how they did it. Let me see how old he was. I don't know if he was 40. Okay, he was pushing, I think he was maybe early 30s. So, yeah, Yeah, he's playing a high schooler. Doesn't look like it at all. But The Blob's great. It has a killer theme song, too. That's one thing the horror movies are missing these days, is a really good theme song. It's like a Scooby-Doo theme song. That's what it feels like.
The genre.
I think so. You know, everybody's, that Exorcist Believer was so bad. Should have had a groovy 50s-style theme song. Would have been great. I recommend everybody listen to the Blob theme song. It was very delightful. I don't remember what I watched before it. I think The Blob was the first movie I watched yesterday. and I was in a foul mood, if you will. And the opening credits started.
Me up.
It did. It was delightful. It was this fun, like, it was kind of like Monkees-esque, that kind of music, you know?
Yeah.
It was fun. So check out The Blob. Pretty fun. Pretty fun movie. I can't say too much about the remake. There was a remake in the 80s. It's written by Frank Darabont. So that's something. But I have not seen it. So I will eventually, because I've heard it's pretty good. But that's it. That's all I want to talk about with movies. I don't know what I'm going to do next week. I'm just kind of coasting by. I'm skirting around. I'm having a good time. I'm in between things, so I have nothing but time.
Boy time.
Yeah, I might come up with a schedule for a marathon that I'll announce next week. So that'll give me something to do while I'm looking for jobs and places to live. But until then, I'm going to throw it on over to Babby for his segment of the show.
Yay! I don't think there's been any new music that I've listened to yet. It's the beginning of the year. Things are happening, I guess, but nothing is like out yet. I think Playboi Carti has been dropping some loose singles.
What?
Except he's not putting them on streaming, and I haven't gone through the effort of looking them up on YouTube. So I'm a really good music reviewer, guys. I really stay on the tip top of things. I think Jid also released a freestyle yesterday.
What?
Which I also hasn't listened to yet. My thing is, like, if it's not on a streaming service, it takes me, like, a lot to, like, go out of my way to, like, look it up on YouTube. Because then if I like it, I can't listen to it.
Oh.
But I think Playboi Carti should be dropping soon in the month of January, I'd imagine. I think Jid's going to be dropping soon.
Didn't he just drop?
Baby Keem is teasing something. I think he dropped 2022.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was really good. So I think there was rumors of a Metro Boomin collab album, so that might be what's next.
That would be good.
So yeah, that would be really great. I'd be down with that. I think the general consensus, at least, like, you know, for my preferences, last year was really good for non-mainstream hip-hop. So I'm hoping this year there's a little bit of a rebound from the more mainstream artists.
Yeah. We need a great Drake record.
Yeah. Because Drake definitely didn't release an album last year.
We just need a good one.
We need a good one. That's a hard task.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Travis Scott dropped, but I didn't really like Utopia. You Can Kill Me.
I won't. I haven't listened to it.
There wasn't really any big hip-hop, like, mainstream releases I was into last year. But I'm hoping this year we get some Jid. I think Denzel Curry's doing... he's chit-chatting. He said there's a lot of stuff coming this year.
Mm.
Said there was an EP coming this week, I think, actually.
Oh.
Might be a little bit of Denzel. I know he's got, like, a couple things he's working on. He has, like, an R&B album that he's wanting to do. But I know there's some other stuff he wants to get to as well. So that should be good. I will be listening to the Playboi Carti album, obviously, whenever that actually does come out. I think Kanye's and Ty's Dolla Sign is still making that album. I don't know. They've delayed it four times, and honestly, at this point, it's like a train wreck, like, or like a car crash, where it's like you kind of like keep looking despite it being horrible. I'm not gonna listen to it, but it's funny watching people get their hopes up and then get them destroyed again.
Does anyone care?
A lot of people care, which is really, really upsetting. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Kanye has a lot of annoying fans, if you didn't know
already. Still?
But yeah.
Is it just the annoying people left?
Yeah, it is just the annoying people left.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah. So that'll be coming out this month, I think. We got the new Smile album coming out at the end of the month. I'm super excited about that. We're hoping that the Smile goes on tour because I need to see Thom Yorke in person at some point in my life. So that'll be coming. I think Chelsea Wolfe has one ready for beginning of February. I think the only thing that came out this week, I don't know, this isn't even a new album, but it's something that came out. Alchemist released the original Hall & Ash 2. I guess you can call it, I'll call it an album. It's the West Side Gun and Conway the Machine duo with Alchemist Production, which is good. It's really good. But you've just combined two of the things that are like Alchemist. There's a certain level of quality there. You know what you're going to get. And then West Side Gun and Conway, which is like, again, a level of quality you know you're going to get. So it's nothing new. It does not reinvent the wheel at all, but I mean, it's good. So that's out there. That's the only crumbs of things that have been really happening, I think.
That's it?
I think so. I don't know. There hasn't really been... Usually the years start slow for music. I hope it's not as slow as last year, because last year took like a good 5 months to get going.
Yeah, that's true. Did Yachty come out? I feel like Yachty came out pretty early.
Yachty came out like, yeah, really early. That was the only album for a while where it was like, oh, okay.
It's a good record.
We do have MGMT coming out at the end of February.
Oh.
So we'll probably do a video on that.
Yeah, I'm ready for some more MGMT. I've been listening to Little Dark Age.
True.
I need to listen to Congratulations. I don't know if I should save that.
Up to you. It's more of like a psych rock type album.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I think that's the one with Brian Eno on it.
That is the one with Brian Eno.
Yeah.
And they have a song called Brian Eno.
Yeah.
That's what you meant.
It's that kind of vibe. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a Scooby-Doo song.
Yeah. It sounds like a Scooby-Doo song.
Mm-hmm.
But the new singles for the new album are pretty good. I really like Bubblegum Dog. It gives me Brian Eno vibes. It's quirked up psych rock.
So. I need to listen. I have not heard either of the singles. Although, I could just wait.
You could wait at this point. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, it's almost 2 months, but whatever.
Whatever.
It's on the way.
It's fine.
Yeah, so that's what's coming out. I don't know. I haven't been listening to anything really new. I've been just like going back and listening to random stuff at this point. It's the time of year where like Soccer Mommy and Snail Mail and Radiohead and everything start entering my playlist again. So,
yeah, that's always a good time. To Soccer Mommy in forever.
I know. I was just going through my liked songs and like a couple of songs from her last album came up and I'm like, ooh, I forgot how good this thing is.
It's a great record.
It's great.
You need to spin that.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Oh, okay. But the main channel will be back in a couple weeks. And we'll start back up there. Added some new stuff to that wheel on there. So,
what are we doing?
Those will be going good. We're doing Portishead.
Portishead.
Yeah, was that which I'm very excited meh? For.
What was that?
I think it was a good. It was a zero.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like trip hop.
Okay.
It's gonna be good. So yeah, very excited about that. But I don't know. We'll see how slow music gets. I might start listening to things that I've been wanting to listen to that we can't really do on the channel because it's either too long or just not at all interesting for Jerry. So there might be some of that like I used to do, but who knows? But yeah, that's all I have. I've been playing a lot of Disco Elysium, so
it's a good game.
It's very good.
Have you been playing a a super communist feminist fella.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I have like 26 communist choices when you hit your little like log and it shows you like the choices you made.
Yeah.
I think I have 26.
That's fun.
It's very good. So I'm hoping we can probably just do like a boy time. What are we calling it? We need to think of a
boy time mini.
A boy time mini.
Yeah.
Well, except it'll be a large probably since both of us will be talking about it at some point.
About Disco Elysium?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll play it. I need to play it a little more.
I don't know how long the game is. So
I've heard it's not too long, but it's one of those that it's like, because it's not so long, it makes you want to go back and, you know,
there's a lot of different options. So
yeah.
Yeah. No, I have 14 hours in it, so I should be beating it within the next month, I would think.
I think so.
There's also like a collage mode. I don't know what that is.
I think that's new.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That was part of the Final Cut thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll do a very in-depth discussion on that once we both finish it, because I'll have a lot of things to say.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But very good. I think that's it. I don't have a lot going on in my life right now because I'm moving next weekend. So there's not really much else in my thought bubble besides that.
Well, that is fair. That is fair. I have recorded two boy time minis that I have not uploaded because I am not happy with how I did during them.
Redo.
The second one was a redo, and now I'm like, I don't even know if this is something that I'm ready to talk about. I think I need to do more research. Mm. I need to go through the process of what happened here. Because the first one I did, I was like, I really want to talk about what went wrong during the Star Wars sequel trilogy. I'll just do a boy time mini about it. And I was recording it. And then for some reason, I got really hooked on, how do you make a good sequel? Let's talk about Shrek 2. And so then half of that boy time mini was me talking. What happens
when no one else is on the podcast?
I know. So I just got stuck. Half of that boy time mini about the Star Wars sequel trilogy was about Shrek 2. I'm like, can it? The whole point of these is that it's supposed to be more focused. And I just went off on like a really long tangent. And so then I sat down again and I'm like, okay, let me get the Shrek 2 thing out of the way. Let me just do a boy time mini on why it's a perfect sequel. And then I did it. And then I was like trying to be like, okay, well, this is how you don't do a sequel. But then I couldn't think of any that I have seen, like specific examples of like sequels I have seen that were not great compared to the first one. And I kind of panicked and I'm like, it didn't really work. So what I think I need to do is I need to watch some good sequels and bad sequels. And then if I'm going to do that, have a more complete kind of vision and repertoire on what I can draw on.
Repertoire. But yeah, I did the same thing when I was writing for my other segment because I'd go on a tangent and then be like, this is not relevant at all. Why am I writing this? And then I'll overthink it, and then I'll miss, like, a crucial detail, and then I'll get mad at myself, and then I won't touch it for, like, 4 days.
Yeah, that's my problem. So I need to do some more research. I don't know. We'll see. The thing that kind of sucks is that I feel like my best stuff concerning Shrek 2 was during that first boy time mini. That's
true. We did go, yeah.
Yeah.
We also went into it in the list video.
We did. So. Which is why I wanted to give it its whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But, yeah, it was kind of weird because, I went home for the holidays and my mom listened to that List Week podcast. And she's like, you really convinced me. I need to see Shrek 2. I've never seen Shrek 2. And
she hasn't seen Shrek 2.
That's what I'm saying. And I was like, wait, how did you? I just recorded that at that time I had recorded the first one that I did. Like, did I talk about Shrek 2? I just recorded something. I haven't uploaded it. about Shrek 2. And he's like, yeah, you talked about it on your List Week episode. So I forgot about that entirely. But yeah, she has seen Shrek 1.
A lot of things in that. So
yeah, we did. So it's kind of hard to remember. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do for Boy Time Mini. I have some ideas, but right now I'm just going to keep on keeping on for now. I have too many things to think about in my life, like the Beatles used to say.
Yes.
I'm a real Beatles head.
We love the Beatles here.
We do. We do. Their last music video was the best music video I've ever seen. With CGI John Lennon and George Harrison. It's lovely. Gotta love it. But yeah, I think that'll do it for this Boy Time podcast episode. A very short episode, but that's okay.
It's the first one of the year. There's not a lot of stuff going on right now.
No. No. I might go see Godzilla Minus One. I did see the original, and so I might go see the new one. See the first one and the last one, because there's not going to be any more Godzilla movies after Minus One. That's the last one.
They will never make another one.
They definitely will not make one with King Kong and Godzilla running alongside each other.
Really funny.
I was thinking about this while I was watching the original Godzilla. King Kong came out in 1933, and Godzilla came out in 1954 from opposite sides of the planet. Yeah. Why are they working together now? Is it just because they're big monsters?
I think so. It's like take two IPs and just squish them together because they're like, ooh, big monster movie.
But they're very different.
They are.
Is King Kong racist? Riddle me this.
It has some very questionable undertones, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's 30s America. Is it about the Jews? Or about African people, because it's a monkey. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like...
there's something. I
think there's a lot of tension going on in that movie.
Yeah. It's kind of weird to pair that with Godzilla, which is all about the follies of nuclear experimentation.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We really export the best, don't we?
It's really weird. It's weird. Godzilla's Japanese, and it's very clear that it's like, it is American H-bomb testings in the ocean that caused Godzilla to rise from the ocean and attack Japan. This is not on the nose at all. And it's like, now Godzilla punches a big ape and shoots a laser. And
is it South Korea? Symbolism from my boy.
Yeah, it's, which I think the new one does. This Minus One does. But from what I've heard, I cannot speak to it personally. Maybe next week I can, but we'll see. I definitely won't be seeing it in the best possible experience. I will be seeing it in my little small town theater. So not the IMAX experience that everyone else is seeing it in. But until then, this has been the Boy Time Podcast, and we are signing off.